Thank you, Harold. And nice to see everybody again. So we have reverse roles. You have the snow and we don't. For a record breaking announcement, I have not had to use my snowblower even one time yet in Golden Lake, Ontario. We had a little bit of snow because I have a gravel driveway and I have a snowblower. I can't blow the gravel. So I packed the first snow to make a base. Well, I've never had to blow it after that. And we're predicted to get some snow, but it just hasn't come yet. So, but I know what you're going through. Now, Happy New Year to everybody. This seems rather impossible that another year has gone by, but I have a little poem that I want to read for you, and maybe it will encourage you a bit. It goes like this. He came to my desk with quivering lip. The lesson was done. Do you have a new lesson for me, dear master? I have spoiled this one. He took my leaf, all soiled and blotted, and he gave me a new one, all unspotted. And into my sad heart he smiled, "Do better now, my child." I came to the throne with fearful heart. The year was done. Have you a new year for me, dear master? I'm weary from this one. He took my year with its fears and doubts and gave me his word that it would all work out. Then with compassion and grace and a fresh promise anew, he said, "Trust me, dear child, and I will see you through." Well, we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions at the Family Bible Hour, and we'll maybe expand a little bit more on that. But what I thought we would do this morning is that I would give you the order of events concerning the birth of Christ. And if not anything else, just settle once and for all that the wise men were not at the manger. That's a joke, by the way, but they weren't at the manger. But I'm going to, first of all, just reminisce with you, and then I'm going to read, if you want to go ahead and turn there, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 2. But while you're getting to Matthew chapter 2, there are very few places in the scriptures that touch the heartstring more when it comes to the Christmas holiday season than the accounts of the birth of Christ. And I remember on one occasion, I think Ann and I were still in Bible school, and we took a spring break, or no, it was a Christmas break, and we drove to Mississippi. And so what we did was, on the way to Mississippi, we decided to memorize Luke chapter 2. And I'll never forget that, you know. We just went over it and over it and over it. And then when you get through, you keep going over it again. And then when you go over it again, you go over it again. And that's about the way you learn things. But let me just give you the order of events. And then I want to read from Matthew chapter 2, because sometimes when we're reading, we don't see the holes in the scriptures. We don't see the spaces in the scriptures. Let me see if I can fill those in for you this morning. So in Luke chapter 1, just if you're taking notes, I'm not going to read from these. The event takes place in Nazareth. And an angel comes to Mary and makes the announcement that she's going to have a child. That is a great description of what the angel says to her and how she responds. In Matthew chapter 1, the same angel comes to Joseph, and he explains the whole thing to Joseph. He tells Joseph that it's okay, that the baby that she's pregnant with is from God, and that she is to he is to take Mary to be his wife. So the angel comes to Mary, then the angel comes to Joseph, and then Joseph follows through with that, and Joseph and Mary then make their way down from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And in Luke chapter 2, those first 7 verses, that's where we have the account of the Lord Jesus being born. Remember, no room in the inn, and she brings forth her firstborn son. Then in Luke chapter 2 again in verses 8 to 20, we got the angels involved again. And here we have the angels' announcement to the shepherds. And they were out in the field. You might remember that. I know it's been a great time to reminisce all these stories. And then later in Luke chapter 2, Jesus is circumcised on the 8th day. And then 33 days later, he is brought to the temple. Now, this is in Jerusalem. Now, a strange thing happens after this. I'm going to say maximum 2 years passes. This is after he meets Simeon and Anna in the temple and all these things. And then a maximum of 2 years. And I'll explain this when we read Matthew chapter 2, why I believe that was probably a maximum for that. And so then if we're in Matthew chapter 2, let me just read those 23 verses for you. Sometimes we sort of get the order mixed up, and sometimes we kind of leave the Lord Jesus as the babe in the manger. We don't even visit the temple. We don't know about his circumcision or Anna or Simeon or any of those things, but they are in the past now. And chapter 2 of Matthew and verse 1 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, I don't have a long period of time here, but let me just say quickly, I'm going to read this for you. That's going to take a few minutes. But I want you to notice in my reading every time we mention the scriptures, and maybe every time the scriptures talk about the young child, this will give us a hint, okay? And there's also several dreams in here. So where the scriptures are mentioned, where the young child is mentioned, and where dreams are mentioned. Verse 2, this wise man says, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all of the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, it was almost like, oh, Bethlehem, we all know that. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written, make note, scriptures, by the prophet. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me so that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I call my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all in its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. This is where I get the two-year thing. I believe Herod wants to make a big sweep, make sure he gets this newborn king. And so maximum, I'm going to say that it was 2 years, but probably maybe a year or maybe a year and a half, something like that. Verse 17, then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, again, another reference to the scripture, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted because they are no more. Now, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the regions of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Well, I never apologize for long readings, but especially this one today. We have an incredible story before us. And in just the few minutes I got left, I want to highlight a few things and then end, Lord willing, on a challenge for all of us. First of all, let me remind you that since the Lord Jesus was in the temple in Jerusalem, probably a year and a half has passed. Then these wise men come from the east. We don't know exactly where they were from or even how far they have come, But we know it was in the east, and we know that in light of what time the star appeared, that Herod did a quick calculation and decided, if I'm going to get this newborn king, I'm going to make sure that he doesn't get away. And so he starts with everybody born within the last 2 years, that is the male children. Joseph and Mary flee to Egypt. We read that in the story. And then Joseph and Mary returns to Nazareth. Then just in the flow of things, let me remind you, after this, the next time that we will see the Lord Jesus would be back in Luke chapter 2. And this was when he was 12 years old, and we would see him in the temple. You might remember Joseph and Mary kind of lost him. They were separated. They supposed he was there and he wasn't, and that's another story. So just a few highlights out of Matthew chapter 2. the wise men came. They said, we've seen his star. This is someone who's born a king. And that's not the way you get to be king. You inherit the throne from your father, or you're appointed of God in the Old Testament to take the throne. Here we got someone who is born a king. They saw a star in the east. The word scripture is not mentioned per se, but it is referred to many times in verse five. The scriptures are mentioned in verse 15, I've called my son. Out of Egypt, mentioned there again in verse 17. Jeremiah, mentioned again in verse 23, that spoke that the scriptures might be fulfilled. The word of God is priority in the story. Things have to happen according to the word of God. This is not haphazard. If you take those first three books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke in particular, and run this story through there, you'll find that there is an order. It is precise. The scriptures will be fulfilled. Something interesting by way of application. Notice verse number eight. Now, this is Herod. Sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you found him, bring me word that I might go and worship him. That's a bunch of baloney, you know that. All he wants to do is get the right information, so he don't want to worship him. He wants to kill him. We read about that later. But let me just show you how you can see things that are not written in the verse. You would never, for instance, think that verse 8 is a picture of the Great Commission, but it is. Now, in a wrong way, Herod gives these instructions. You go find him. When you find him, you come back and tell me, and I'll go and worship him. Isn't that exactly what the Lord Jesus told us to do? When we find the Lord Jesus as our own personal Savior, we're to go into all the world and preach that gospel so that others can find the Lord Jesus and come to worship him too. I just thought as a little side note, Herod didn't even know he's preaching the Great Commission there, but he was by way of application. The star is mentioned several times. What about this star? Lining of the planets? No, probably not. Probably a very miraculous one-time, star that appears. As far as I know, there's nobody that knows much about that star, but that star led them from the east, led them to Jerusalem, led them to Bethlehem, and then notice something. The star in verse 11, and when they had, for verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came to the house, mark that. This is not a babe in a manger. We're not in a stable anymore. Jesus is at least a year old, maybe a year and a half old, something like that. and now they live in a house. And it's not a baby anymore. You will notice in verse 8, young child. Verse 9, young child. Verse 11, young child. Verse 13, young child. Again, young child. 14, young child. It goes on and on. Verse 20, young child. 21, young child. Twice, the young child. Now, this is important. If you're going to keep the story straight, well, let's keep the story straight. The baby is growing up, and now he is a young child. And they're living in a house. And into that house, three wise men. Well, we don't know how many wise men there were, but they brought three gifts. We know that. And the gold would stand for royalty or kingship, the frankincense, the pure aroma, purity, divinity, myrrh stands for the suffering. This bitter herb would represent the suffering that would come. The word dream is mentioned, verse 12. The wise men were warned in a dream. Verse 13, Joseph in a dream. Verse 19 and 22, again, Joseph. Joseph has had several dreams. Now, let me just make a comment. God spoke in dreams fairly often. You read your Bible, you'll know that. Let me give you just a thought. Remember, they didn't have the New Testament. The New Testament's being written. They are in real time, real life. And so what's happening here is God is unfolding and revealing things in dreams. Dreams are okay as long as they don't contradict the word of God, as long as they don't give you extra biblical revelation, because we've got everything that God wants us to have. But dreams were very important in those days. The scriptures are fulfilled over and over again. In verse 5, the scriptures are fulfilled. It says Bethlehem's going to be the birthplace. In verse 15, I'm going to call my son out of Egypt. And verse 23, if they're going to come and live in Nazareth, that the scripture might be, or that which is spoken might be fulfilled. But let me just in closing, let me share this with you. Look in verse 23, that which is spoken by the prophets, plural. Do you see that? Now, Bethlehem, the prophet, calling my son out of Egypt, the prophet. But when it comes to Nazareth, prophets, more than one. Interestingly enough, you can't find it. It's not there. There's not any place back here in the Old Testament that says he shall be called a Nazarene. What you will find is from Isaiah to Psalm 22 to Psalm 69, you're going to find verses that says he is despised and rejected, a man of reproach. He came to his own, and his own received him not, et cetera, and et cetera. You say, now, what's that got to do with him being called a Nazarene? Now, don't get it confused. Not a Nazarite. A Nazarite vow was your hair wasn't cut, you couldn't touch a dead body, and you didn't drink any wine. Well, I don't know about Jesus' hair, but I think it was probably cut. He definitely drank wine. He definitely touched dead bodies. So not a Nazarite, a Nazarene. That is someone who grew up in the hometown of Nazareth. Why is that important that the scriptures might be fulfilled? Let me tell you why. The word is out. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? There is our key. Nazareth was a military town. Nazareth, and people, listen, if you wanted to call somebody a no good, low down rascal, just say you're a Nazarene. That's all you had to say. And in that sense, the prophets laid the ground that he was despised and rejected. He shall be called a Nazarene. He shall be despised. He shall be rejected. Now, quickly, I know I'm out of time. Hebrews chapter 13, and I'll be through. I just want to show you the connection. Hebrews and chapter 13. verse 11, Hebrews 13, verse 11. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned, note this, outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered where? Outside the gate. Admonition, therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Dear friend, let me remind you, you are following a rejected Messiah. We live in a world today that don't have anything to do with Jesus. They're certainly trying to destroy the Word of God, the written Word. They certainly deny the Son of God, the living Word. And we are to take sides with Christ. And as the scriptures were fulfilled, that he should be called a Nazarene. Dear friend, that's your second name. It's Joe Nazarene Reese. A follower of the rejected Messiah, and no good thing can come out of Nazareth, and people are going to call you no good and stupid and dumb, and you don't know anything because you believe an old book, and you believe the story of the old book, and there's going to be no time for you. Listen, just take your place outside the gate. Take your place outside the camp. Stand shoulder to shoulder with the Nazarene, the despised and rejected one, and let us go forth bearing his reproach this year. Sorry, I've gone over. Your break's going to be a little bit shorter this morning, but I hope that maybe settles a few things as far as the timeline, and also a good New Year's resolution. I even though it's hard, I want to experience his suffering this year and stand with him, the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, please bless every thought to us of him, the rejected one, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Thank you that the scriptures have to be fulfilled. And every jot and every tittle is exactly the way you wanted it to be. Bless these dear ones today and encourage them this year in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.